Good morning. Thank you for coming. I greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning again. The one that has promised to satisfy the needs of human mankind. Isn't that amazing? An audience like this, I'd imagine that we have quite a long list of needs, right? He's able. He's able this morning to fulfill that for us. James says this, James 1:4, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and tired, wanting nothing. That's quite the promise, isn't it? That we can actually live in this life and be satisfied. He goes on to say in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It almost appears as if when James was writing those verses, he says, it appears that wisdom is the needed ingredient for satisfaction. Wisdom is the needed ingredient for satisfaction. Also, wisdom is always assigned to righteousness in action. Isn't that amazing? I think that is the fulfilling of the Christian life. You know, when God placed man on the earth, and when Jesus came and he presented the plan of salvation, and those that took of the plan of salvation and washed, let Jesus wash their robes, are active in righteousness today. And you find satisfied people in those kind of conditions. I'm thankful this morning that we have a God, that we have a Jesus Christ that was so caring for me this morning. This morning's message, I'd like to look at, probably going to start off a little negative. Hopefully we can end up on a positive note, but it's offenses must come. I get to work with a lot of people, a lot of different people. I meet a lot of different customers, and I get into a lot of different homes. And it seems when you get into a lot of different homes, you hear a lot of different stories, don't you? I would have to say, looking at you all across the audience, you each have a story, don't you? Everybody does. Most of us feel that it's worthwhile sharing. And that's okay, too. It is. Because oftentimes that is how we find solutions for healing, is when we share our story. But you hear stories, but many, sadly, are tainted and even maybe completely designed by offenses. They have maybe a negative story and they like it and they will share it to everybody. And it just goes on and on. And after a while, you come away from there and you have to shake it off because, wow, I can't handle that stuff any longer. Offenses has the thought of this. All human is bound to offend or be offended. Do you believe that this morning? That you have the potential, and probably have. I think if we really want to be honest with ourselves and with this question, we all were the offender. We were. We probably also have all received the other side where we have been offended. So we can share both sides of the story in a sense. Not that it has to be alive today, but in our past, we have things that we did, we said, maybe even just our behavior that has been offensive to somebody. And we received likewise. We had maybe a little bit too high of opinion of ourselves and we got stepped on and we become offended. There's another side of offenses, that something happened in your life that was completely out of your control. The circumstance was given to you by maybe an evil individual, and you had to receive it. That's an offense. That is an offense. It is amazing when you read Matthew, though. That's where I got the thought of this. But this thought was ongoing for a while, and credit is due where credit is due, right? Thanks for those that shared at prayer meeting, because it was sort of a jump start, and also for Sunday night, the thought of Sunday night. It was a conclusion of what I was, well, let's just be honest with it, what I struggle with. Maybe it's just man on this, maybe we're just talking on this side, where we get the thought of where we where we think the plateau is, and when we get lowered from that, that hurts. Let's be honest, that hurts. Somebody else tells you, yo, your opinion's a little high of yourself, and that's not okay. That hurts. And we tend to take that as an offense, right? Well, unfortunately, you all struggle with that on this side as well. But we do that. And as I was thinking about that, and as I was thinking of horrible lives, I'm going to just use the word horrible. Horrible lives have been ended with the sentence, because I was offended. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to stay here, and this is who I am, because I was offended. I don't know how many people I talk to that have that story about church life. Is that amazing? Not really. It's right here in these circles. It's right here in these circles. You don't have to go real far until you find offended people at closely fellowshipping groups that fall by the wayside. Somewhere. I forget who shared that. Maybe it was Wednesday night. Do you remember when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers? And the feeling was great. They were overwhelmed. Just the love and compassion for each other was so high. And they walked out the door. And before they walked out the door, he said to his brothers, now make sure that you don't fall out by the way. Why is that? Because human is tended to lean that way. That's who we are. That is really who we are. Human left by himself will fall out by the way. Anyhow, let's look at the... In Matthew 7, he says, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. So Jesus said, they're coming. They are coming. God bless you if you have never been offended, okay? I like you to say that. If you have never experienced offenses, God bless you for sparing you. But friends, it will come because Jesus said so. And I believe that Jesus was accurate when he made that proclamation about human, you will offend and you will be offended. It is coming. This morning, my thought is there a way that you and I can live lives and not be controlled by offenses? That's my whole passion for this message this morning. Do we have to make decisions based on offenses? And I believe there is, because the title of offenses always has assumptions for its facts. Do you ever think about that? That's how negative the word offenses is used in the scripture again and again. That's how negative offenses are today. It always will use assumption for its facts. What was really interesting, what I found is that, and also offended people become con artists at selling their product. Do you ever think about that? Offended people will become extremely cunning artist, and they will have buyers for their product. And that is, my assumption sounds so good to your hurtful heart that you buy it up, and that's how it was, without ever checking if it was facts. Isn't that amazing? That is actually how things happen where people fall out that really relate closely to each other. That is why Jesus says, know the truth, speak the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's why he said that. Because he knows the very core problem of my heart, all right? The other thing that is really interesting is that when you go to Matthew 18 and you find this verse in verse 7 where he says that offense is coming, right before that he says, woe unto that man that offends one of these little ones. First of all, he's talking about if you want to get to heaven, right? He says, if you want to get to heaven, you must become like an innocent little child. And we say, wow, that's a tall order. However, am I going to feel that? Well, he says, my salvation plan will help you get there. And then he goes on and he says, if you think for some moment that you can wreck somebody's innocence, you are cursed. That's exactly what he says. You are cursed. I cannot accept it if you offend these little ones. Now, the other thing is, he never mentions about the little one hanging on to the offenses that came to him. That's why I believe there's a way that you and I can live our lives, even though we have to accept what comes into our lives and not let it stick and make decisions against our faithfulness tomorrow. So I believe there's a way. Let's see if we can find those ways. The other thing is James 3:5 says, "For in many ways we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." Wow, that's a tall order too, isn't it? That almost looks uncomprehendable to most of our minds. Maybe some of y'all sit in there and say, "Yeah, I got it." You know, we're there, but that's not my story. That's not my story. When I read that verse, I say, "God, is that? That's what you want out of us, isn't it? I need some help. I really need some help." Let's look at a few words. This is almost just a little Bible study here before we get into the rest of the message. But the word offend, in the Old Testament, it was always translated out of Hebrew. Most of you Bible scholars would know that. And in the New Testament, it's taken out of Greek. So it's two different translations. But most of the ingredients behind the word really go hand in hand. And it becomes almost a theme that goes forward as a negative theme. But the word translated, where you find it, first of all, is in Genesis 20, verse 9. And this is where Abimelech is calling Abraham out and says, "What did I do to you, Abraham, that you did this to me? Did I offend you?" And he uses the word offend, and it's translated as kata. Kata, I believe is how you say it. Simply is a question form. What did I do that you think that I have such evil in me? Why did you assume these unfair facts to me and lay them at my doorstep? You almost got me in trouble, but God kept me back. Remember that story, how God kept him from getting to know his wife, and he said, "I kept you from sin." And he said, "Don't touch her, put her back to where she belongs." And it says, in return, Abimelech was blessed by that. There's another time that it was used, and that is in 2 Kings 18, verse 14. It's used, and this is where Hezekiah is running up against the Assyrian king, and he says to the king of Assyria, he says, "I know I offended you, or I did something that really made you mad, and you assumed evil. I know that. What do I need to do to pay my price?" And you know what he said? He said, "I need money. I need paid off." But you know what the interesting thing is? An offended person will never be satisfied. If you read the rest of that story, he paid him whatever it was, a couple hundred talents of silver and a couple of talents of gold, a large amount. He had to carve the gold off the temple. And the two verses later, he's up against them with his army. Really? No, you cannot pay an offended person off. And Proverbs talks a little bit about that. There's another word that's used, is called ashma, which is the presentation of sin. And this is where he says in 2 Chronicles 28:13, this is where when we offend God. Do you know that's possible? That we offend God? Well, that's what the prophet Obed said. We don't read much about Obed, but he was a man of God. The children of Israel went out from Samaria, and they went up against Jerusalem, against Judah, right? Because God was displeased with Judah's behavior. And they went up there and they took 200,000 captivities of their people and brought them back to their city. Have you ever thought of a war ending up like that? Killed all the men, women, children, they all brought back. Obed meets them outside the city and he says, "Don't even go any further. We will not have this on our hands." He says, "I understand that because of Judah's sinfulness, they had to be brought down." But he said, "Do you think," he said unto them, "ye shall not bring in the captives here, for whereas we have offended against the God already." And he says, "Ye intend to add more of our sin to our transgression, for our transgression is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel." So that word offend means that you were offensive to God and that payment is due. It needs to be paid. It's not an assumption. See, this is an area where when God is offended, he does not use assumptions as facts. All right? This word offended towards God means that you were intentionally brought to the place where you chose sin. That's what that word means. There's another type of this word used. It's called pasha. And this is where I was saying about an individual that is offended or chooses to be offended can never be satisfied, and he will have to come to the place of repentance himself before anything changes. And in Proverbs, he says this, pasha has the thought of a breakaway from just authority, rebellious, intentionally deciding that I don't care if it was good or not, you were bad, and whatever you said meant to hurt me. And I don't care how else it was, I am making the decision how this is going to work. And I stick to that, and I come to the place where Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to reach than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Do you see an unapproachable person? See, one of the things that we need to reckon with our minds is, do you know the word offenses and the actions of defenses belong to the devil? Let's reckon with that in our minds right now. Actions and offenses, the actions of offenses and the core of offenses belong to the devil. And if we decide that we're going to serve the devil, it's really hard to get there unless I decide that Jesus Christ needs to wash my garments and return from where I have went from. There's another word, and this one, now we're going to switch into the New Testament. Now, this is the Greek word, and that word offense means scandalizo. It almost sounds like scandalizing. Scandalizo, and it has a thought of entrapping or closing in on, tripping up, stumbling, or enticing to sin. So because I am wicked, I'm going to try and sell my product to you, right? That's offenses, what he's talking about in the New Scripture and New Testament. And this one comes up in Matthew. It comes up in Mark, Luke. It's used all the way through. There is another one. There is another one. And that is, it has a almost identical thought behind it as scandalizing, but I forgot to get it. And it's the word that Paul uses when he is talking in Acts, and he's talking to the king, and he gets to speak his own, right? And he says, did I do any offenses? And it simply means, was I immoral before you all? Did I practice anything wicked that belongs to immortality? That was his question. That's another word, offense, that's used. That's a good question for any of us to ask ourselves. Have I been pure before the Lord? Have I offended anybody in enticing them to sin by their actions, words, or even just physical? Have I introduced anything like that? Continue on. Is it possible to live a life and not be affected or let offenses stick on us? You know, how would you look if God would decide this morning that he's going to use green stickers, and every offense that sticks to you and you can't get rid of, he's going to stick it right on you, and everybody's going to be able to see it. All over your face, wherever. How many stickers would you have? You know, this morning, I am thankful that God didn't decide to do that. But if I really want to be honest with you, I would probably have a few of those stickers. Is he taking them off for me? I'll tell you a little story. So I painted a lot of stain and paint, spray painted. And paint suits, paint everything, you can't quite get all your skin covered and still see effectively. So my eyes would be open and I'd spray and I'm what a mess. You would scratch and scrape and oh, it would be hurtful. It would be painful trying to get this stuff off. And I was talking to an individual and he does the same thing. He does enamel spraying. And he says, and I said, how do you get your exposed skin to stay clean that it doesn't get all wrong? Sore. I mean, you only do that once or twice and you have to wait the stain till it's healed up. And he said, oh, that's easy. He said, all you need to use is a heavy bodied lotion or some kind of a grease like Vaseline and rub it on your skin. And he said, it'll wash right off. Is there any parallels with Jesus, offenses, paint and skin hanging on? What for agent are you using to try and keep the sticker from sticking this morning? I think there is a direct parallel with that. Next time I sprayed, I got home, took a cloth, a little bit of warm soapy water, whoop, scalp. Didn't even affect me, no sores. Wow, amazing. You know, isn't that where we come to as Christians? When we figure out that Jesus Christ has a solution, we say, wow, amazing. I didn't need to be offended over that. I don't need to make a decision based on that. Let's look at what Jesus says about that. Well, I think there is a way because James, we read the verses in James that there is a way of living holy And above all, there's also the thought of in Matthew 15:11, not that which is goeth into the mouth of a man, but that which cometh out defileth a man. That, maybe I'm reading more into that thought than what is. But think about this, my friends. There is nothing that comes into your life that will have to stick. But if you choose to let it stick, that's what's going to come out. Isn't that amazing? And that's what Jesus said. That is what makes you a sinner. He said the things that you hear, the things that you see, the things that you feel are not the stuff that makes you a sinner unless you intentionally went there and got involved in it. I would have to say there's probably a fine line. Maybe even possibly we call it a gray area. But I think Jesus is straightforward that if you set yourself up for sin and fall in it, you're a sinner, no matter if somebody gave it to you or not. But the things that enter in, the things that you have no control of, to hear, to see, and to feel, is not what makes you a sinner. But when we decide in our minds that that's going to stick, and that's going to what I'm going to tell my next friend or my peers, or that's going to be my body language, now you're a sinner. Jesus said that that is what makes a man defiled. There's another verse, and we heard this one last Sunday, in Psalms 119:165, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And you know, when you hear that, you say, how does that work? So God is going to, stuff your mouth so you don't say that, right? Hold your hand back so you can't touch me so I don't be offended. Make them behave themselves properly so that I'm not offended. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. He is saying, I am the agent that keeps the sticker from sticking. He said, you will be hurt. Offenses will come, right? Proverbs says this. Proverbs 12:3. A man shall be established. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. You know, when a person moves the worst is when he is affected by offenses. There is all kinds of, if you want to call it, wiggling of the body. When offenses happen, you can't stand still. But he's saying a man that is rooted in righteousness will not have to go there. He's okay. He doesn't have to be swung from one side to the other. Jesus said this. There's another verse, and it's found in John 16. And I'd like to pull a few verses out of John 15 if you want to turn there. But John 15, if you go whole through the whole chapter of 15, you come down to the verse 16. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye shall not be offended. And that word means scandalizo. It simply means, I have told you this, that you don't have to let those stickers be your title. Okay? Let's just look at a few things that he has spoken in here. So he has said that, and so I say, there's got to be a way. There's got to be a way that if you struggle with this, that you can get over it. Or if you have struggled with it, how did you get over it? I believe it's because we go to Jesus Christ as our agent of taking the adhesive off the back of the sticker, and it just simply hits and it falls to the ground right at the cross. You know, if you really think about it, that's where it goes. Those that stick have chosen not to use Jesus Christ as their agent, anti-stick agent, and it sticks. And it doesn't have to be much. I have heard the childish, most ridiculous arguments about offenses that now I have to do this because of this. And I say, God help us. How does a grown man get to that place? How do grown women come to that place? Well, friends, it's not really far off. Just think about your last past life without Jesus Christ as your agent. You'll be there. You'll be there real quick. Like, let's look at what Jesus says. So if we read chapter 15, and I don't have time to read the whole thing, but I'd like to just go down through and just look at what Jesus says. So we also understand that Jesus is all-powerful, and he could resist all these things coming from you, but he decided not to. That's what God decided. And he has given us the tools and the understanding to get there. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning. What can I do in my life to prepare myself for the next offense? I like to say that first. There needs to be a preparation in our minds before the next offense comes, because if you don't, it'll stick. We're too late. We can pray about it afterwards after we realize we made a mistake, and God will be able to scrub it off. It's painful. It will come off. But friends, if we have not prepared ourselves for the next offense, it'll stick. Jesus knew that too, and that's why he says this. So the first couple verses in John 15, I believe it's from verse 1 to verse 8, he says he's talking about fellowship with Jesus Christ, being personally connected to the agent, and so he knows what you're saying. You ever think about that? If you're not personally connected to Jesus, does he know what you need? He does, but he's not going to give it until we're personally connected and ask him personally, I need help, God. I need help. That's why he's saying there is a vine. I am that. Jesus said, I am that vine. And he said, you, all those that have named the name of Jesus Christ, are the branches. So there needs to be an invitation to his law in my life. There needs to be a personal invitation. Jesus, this is tough, but I need you to put your law into my life. Humble me to the place where I can listen to you. We start asking him to personally invite us. In verse 3, he says, now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. And what was that word? Repent and be baptized and go live for me. Right? Friends, that's why the new birth is the only thing that'll cleanse us clean enough that we can even accept the agent of non-sticking stickers. We need to be born again. We need to be convinced that we were wicked. I was wrong. I need to confess, openly confess, one to another, to Jesus Christ, and ask him for his blood to wash me clean. I need to repent. And that means simply the things that I know I did yesterday that was not good for me, I need to turn around and not do them again tomorrow. That's intentional sin if I do it again. Or I have not asked Jesus Christ for a cleansing. I've not accepted his cleansing as what it was. The other thing is the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that will fix you. Don't have any doubts about that. Don't doubt that Jesus Christ is not able to wash you clean enough to stand before him holy and righteous, ready to enter into eternity. He is able to do that. But if I dabble with doubt, it will affect my decision and the stickers will stick. The offenses will hurt. They will stay with me. I make decisions based on that. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you as a branch cannot bear fruit itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Stay with Jesus. Friends, it's great to pour your heart out at your bedside when you're all alone and you're painful and you just pour your heart out. You don't know what to say sometimes. You just kneel there in silence. It's okay. The Holy Spirit takes care of that. But friends, when we get up, what happens? The next day, in the middle of pressure, what happens? Stay with Jesus. Ask him when you're so meek and humble to put that into your mind when the pressure is hot tomorrow afternoon. You know, when we do that, we prepare ourselves for that next temptation of being offended. That is one of the preparations that happen, is stay connected with Jesus. He also says in verse 7, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. The other thing, there's another verse that I'd like to just pick out. There's a little phrase that says, I believe it's in verse 5. Without me, ye can do nothing. Do we really believe that? Or am I actually wise enough and strong enough to actually enter into this and actually be able to handle this? You know, that is a great temptation with many, many men and women. I know what Jesus' power feels like. I have gotten to this place of life and things come up and we start gradually, casually sliding backwards to where I can handle this. And we step out on a dangerous limb and act as though we can get right out to the edge without falling off. Friends, don't do that. Just don't do that. He says this. If you don't fall off, you're only doing a little bit of fruit. You'll be cut off. That's what he says. So don't take that road too far and think that somehow you can still have time to turn back. He says, I will cut them off that don't have fruit. The next part we see is in the same verses, some of the same verses, we see the thing of constant serving, looking for opportunities to bless others. So one of the things that I have noticed when you go through all the offenses and the idea of offenses, there is no selfishness left when you take offenses away. Offenses never have anything about humility and humbleness and meekness. There's no words like that connected with it. But it's selfish. It's prideful. It's just bitter and angry. That's what it is. Self-contained. I believe one of the ways that we can prepare for the next offense is to, God, what do you want me to do? Who shall I serve today? Is there an opportunity that you could put in my life? And then what do you do with when the opportunity comes? Oh, you're really busy, ain't you? I'm really busy. That person needs help. You know, you meet a customer and all he wants to do is tell his life story. But sir, I got work to do and I'm on the clock. I got to go. Wait, didn't you just ask God to show you the opportunity to serve him and prepare you for the next temptation? The next offense? Well, stand and listen to the conversation. Do it God's way. You know, Jesus was very busy too. They tried to kick all the children away from him. And he said, no, don't do that. I have time for that too. Jesus, you're busy now. He says, that's part of what I do. Ask God for opportunities to serve others and intentionally do them when he brings them to you. Verse 2, and every branch that bringeth fruit, he purges it that it might bring more fruit. You really think that you're bearing fruit? Ask God to prune you. Ask God to take you to the next level. He's not done. There's a lot more fruit that you can produce. I'm convinced of that. There's another verse that says in verse 5, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The word much fruit is used numerous times when he's talking. And I believe we need to glean something from that. That means all the way, friends. That's not just Christian when you're in church. That's not just Christian when you feel like the opportunity fits your schedule. But friends, he says much fruit. You're not the one that chooses what limit of fruit you get. Jesus Christ does that. All you need to do is to be in him and to serve him day after day, hour after hour, as he lends you opportunity. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bring much fruit, so shall you be my disciple. That's why I say, friends, if you want to be Jesus' disciple, let him decide what is enough of fruit and what is enough of opportunities and length of time. I know I'm saying a lot of things up here. Right? That's a big deal. But it's truth. That's what the Bible says. And we must live and use that for our guide. The next one is found in the verses from 9 to 12. And he talks about, continue ye in my love. It is a choice. It is a choice. Verse 9, as my Father hath loved you, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That's great. Got that. I will continue in your love. What does that look like? Oh, that's when it gets painful. We relate to love as, if you're kind to me, I'll be kind to you. Right? Works pretty good. You do nice things for me, I do nice things for you. Works pretty nice. But what if I don't do nice things to you? Can you still be nice to me? That's what love is. That's a big deal. Do you still love the customer that just swore you up and down because something didn't quite turn out right? Do you do it again for whatever? Whatever, it's my time. Doesn't matter. Sometimes we do that because we think of our reputation and we try and cover our reputation. And that's okay too. But friends, when it costs us dearly to go the second mile, that's when it starts getting tough. We can't do it. You and I do not have the capability of to continue in Jesus' love and do that on our own strength. There is where we need that Christ agent to help us. Offenses will stick and drag us down. We won't be able to go further. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Is that fulfilling? When you get to actually do something that hurt and you didn't know how it's going to work through, and finally the next day you say, how did that actually work? How did that actually work out? How did that end up? I believe that feeling that you have at that moment is the fulfilling of Jesus' love and his joy that was meant for you to enjoy. That's what it means. That feeling of thank you, God. I don't know how that happened. It was you. Thank you. That's the fulfilling of what Jesus is talking about. The next thoughts come from verses 14 and 16. I deserve nothing. I deserve nothing. Jesus is not obligated to even do the smallest kindest deed for you this morning and for me. Do we believe that? Or is there somehow a thought that, well, I'm a pretty good Christian. You know, I served my employer really well, and I was pretty kind when I came home, and Jesus, you got to accept me. That's not how it is. Think about this. In verse 14, he says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. He's still not obligated. But he uses that word friend because it's a common sharing ground when you come my way. That's what he's saying. There's a common sharing ground when you come my way. Now I can bless you. You know what God's greatest desire is for his people? It was all the way through. God sits up in his throne, and Jesus at the right hand, and God would so love to bless mankind, but it's you and I that refuse to accept the blessing. It's our behavior, it's our attitude, it's our experiences in life that we have not reckoned with Jesus' way, and he can't bless us. So he's not obligated to do anything, but he chooses to anyhow, even when we were unwilling and unworthy. Verse 19, if you were of the world, verse 16, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. In other words, what he's saying is, I loved you so much that I called you out from where you were, and I'm calling you to take that next step because I want to so bless you. I want to so give you this anti-stick agent so you don't have to be drowned in offenses. The next one is found is in verse 19 to verse 20. And there's a thought. Yeah, I wrestle a little bit with this one because it's deep and it's heavy, and I know I'm just scratching the surface. Pray for humility and meekness even while experiencing offenses. And why I say that is, one of the things is, if friends, if you're not experiencing offenses or opposition, are you for sure in the right camp? I just throw that out. Because Jesus says this, 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Righteousness was never accepted as common ground when Jesus was here, and it's not today either. Truth is offensive. This is an area where if you have offended somebody because you spoke Jesus Christ, the word of truth, you cannot back down on them. You can't back down on them. You can be sorry that they are where they're at and that they have taken offense to even the word of God. You can be sorry for the sinner, but you cannot back up because of offenses, because of sharing the word of God. Jesus preaches a message, and I'm not sure what he was saying, but I think I could almost guess it was against the Pharisees. They were well known. They were very popular. They were very financially set well, and they were the rulers of authority. And Jesus preaches this message, and afterwards his disciples come to him and says, did you know the Pharisees were offended at you? That word offend has the same thought, but it's on the other side. The one that has been offended assumes the fact. See how that works? It's reversed now. But friends, we need to stay on truth. Pray for humility and meekness in the midst of experiencing adversity. Verse 19, if you were of the world had loved his own. You wouldn't have resistance. Friends, when we find ourselves in the eyes of, wow, that's cool. That's a pretty good job. When you, that kind of praise that, let's say what it is, street language. When you connect with things that are popular and really happening and you become one of the, quote, in group, I would say, please get on your knees. Get with Jesus. That's not who Jesus was. That's not how he preached. That's not who his disciples were. And friends, if we think we're going to connect with Jesus Christ, we cannot be there. It's not humility. It's not meekness, but rather it's many other words. Pray for humility and meekness. But because, verse 19, the rest of it. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. If you say things that Jesus said, you will get conflict. You will. Interesting. Took the school children on the school trip, and we're sitting in a little stand there, or in the little stages, and there was a couple behind us, and the lady leans over to me and says, "Why does your wife have that thing on her head?" I don't know. It's because that's how women do it, Great Lakes. Right? I said, "Well, number one, Christianity. Absolutely." She said, "I got it. I'm a Christian." Okay, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let's go further. I said, "So what, how do you understand the headship veiling? Headship veiling. Where do you get that?" I said, "Did you ever read in 1 Corinthians 11? 1 Corinthians 11. No, she never read that. I said, "You know what? You really need to ask Jesus. Since you're a Christian, you know Jesus, right? Read 2 Corinthians and see what he tells you." I said, "We understand that as Jesus Christ, head of the church. Man is next. Men, on this side, you are responsible for the authority under Jesus Christ. Ladies, you are responsible to be under the authority of the next." That's what God said. And by faith, we believe that. And you know what's interesting? It works. It works. It actually works. And so I'm willing to stick with it. I'm willing to stick with it. If I can do my part. Jesus Christ, help me. God, help me that I would be a faithful leader that is worthy of following. That's all about it. When we pray for humility. And then it was over and we left. I would have really liked to get into a much deeper conversation. But I didn't. I trust God, if she is sincere about that, will take her and bring things out of that scripture reading that she needs. I believe it. It's the word of God. It doesn't fail. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they that persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my saying, they will keep yours also. You see anything that is saying anything about lifting yourself up by your own bootstraps? But friends, it's rather let Jesus put your boots on for you and ask him where to walk. That's humility. It's okay. I know I didn't do anything to deserve this, but yes, I did. But yes, I did. Offenses are yours. What am I going to do with it? A few things in Proverbs. There's four different verses in Proverbs. And he talks about, I was thinking about being established and not being moved. The lip of truth is found in Proverbs 12:19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Wow. Commit your labors today to God, and he will help you think right thoughts tomorrow. That's pretty good. Proverbs 25:5, take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Proverbs 29:14, the king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. There's just a few other ingredients that we can put to our lives. And we can be assured that those stickers will not stick. Will not stick. God bless you. God give you the strength and the wisdom to take each situation, even if it's in the past and you cannot fix it anymore, that you can ask him, that agent, the anti-stick agent can still work. He is amazing at taking stickers off of us that we have no control of to take off. Let Jesus Christ do his work in your life. Let's kneel for prayer.
God, I just ask that you would continue the thought, continue the practice of your will for the lives of your people. Father, I just pray that each one that is here would be touched by your spirit, would be able to know what to do next, to prepare for the next offense. Father, you promised. Jesus, through his word, said offenses will come. And Father, as we relate to you and as we have named your name, we become the targets of the evil one, and we will be offended. Father, Father, may not our title be offended, but Father, that we would be the victorious, the overcomers, the ones that are moving on, serving you, even in the heat of the battle. Father, just ask that you would give us the strength. If there is any here this morning, Father, that are struggling with the thought of being mistreated, Father, may you give them one more opportunity by your Spirit that they could get rid of that thought and serve you. Father, I just pray that you would bless us, go with us from here, guide us and keep us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.